This evening, as many of you all know, is Sunday evening. And many of you all are thinking about that big W word that comes up tomorrow morning, aren't you? Work. And maybe just even saying that is stressing you out just a little bit, because now you're thinking about all the things that you got to go into the office or to your workplace and do tomorrow. You got to get up in the morning. You got to maybe take the kids somewhere. You got to make breakfast, get the coffee together. And hopefully I'm not stressing you out too much, but some of you all are starting to run through all the things you got to do in the morning, right? There's actually a term for this. I don't know if you all know this. It's called the Sunday Scaries. It is an actual thing. If you Google it when you go home, you will find several guides on how to overcome the Sunday Scaries. If you need that, feel free to search when you get home on your own time. But the Sunday Scaries is the, quote, the feeling of impending doom where we start to feel anxious about the working week ahead. And if you experience that, like I think most of us have from time to time, it can be a pretty overwhelming thing. And, you know, some of this depends, too, on what you think about your job and how you value your work or how you see your fulfillment through work. Is it something that you dread or something that you greatly enjoy and find satisfaction in? And, you know, as all of us have experienced, sometimes there's aspects of work that we may not enjoy. It can be tedious. It can be challenging. It can be hard. It can be stressful. It can be overwhelming. And sometimes it can feel like you're going through the same routine day after day with no end in sight. And, you know, again, all of that depends on the type of job, the type of work you do, whether or not you find fulfillment in it. But let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you saw your work, no matter what type of work it is, as inherently spiritual or a part of your Christian life? And maybe that's something that you've never really thought about. I mean, it's easy for me as a minister to say, well, my work is spiritual, right? Because I do this all the time. I get to read the Bible. I get to think about these things. I get to come and spend time with you all and to preach the word, to think about the word. And so you could say, yeah, a minister's job is inherently spiritual. But what about your jobs that aren't related to the church or some Christian organization? Is your work inherently spiritual? Is there something spiritual about the work in which we spend our lives doing? Even if you're not, if you don't have a job, can your schoolwork be seen in that way as well? Certainly, all of us have opportunities in our work life for things like evangelism, for being a light to people, for being a good influence, for making good ethical and moral decisions in the spheres in which we work and go to school and study. We have decisions to make that can affect our influence on other people around us. But what about the actual work itself? Can that be something that is pleasing or glorifying to God? So this evening, we're going to study a couple passages that talk about our work, not just in a spiritual sense, but also our day-to-day work, our actual careers and jobs, and maybe shed some light upon the type of things that maybe God, the way that God wants us to think about our work that's not explicitly connected to church work. So the first thing I want you to consider is from 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, probably a passage that we have read from time to time. As Paul lays out the discussion in 1 Timothy 5 about supporting widows in the church, and, you know, a faithful widow can be supported if they meet certain qualifications or expectations of them, if they've lived a faithful life and so forth, and they would be able to be supported by the work, by the church. But he also lays out a different verse that I think contributes to this in verse 8, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says this, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's a pretty strong statement, but I think it's an important one for all of us to remember about our work, is that our work in providing for our household, for our family, is something that God wants us to do. And Paul says, and you know, through inspiration of the Spirit, that a failure to do so constitutes us being unfaithful to God, and a denial of the faith. And so this is a really important responsibility that all of us as Christians and all people have in our lives, is the responsibility of providing for our families. Now, depending on your family situation and work situation, that may look different for each family, what that is, but there's a provision involved for us. And so what does that mean? Providing for our family is a spiritual matter. And because of that, the work that we do to support our families, it contributes towards that fulfillment of what God expects for us. So, lest we think that maybe my job's not Christian. I'm not a minister. I don't preach and teach. I don't serve in the church as a full-time opportunity. The work that you do out in the world in providing for your family is important spiritual work. In caring for your household, in taking care of needs, in providing food and clothing and meeting the needs of your family, that is important spiritual work that we are obligated to do as Christians in our life. The second thing is this. And you may think, well, okay, it's hard for me to be a good Christian at work because maybe I work for some people that are terrible. I don't like my boss. He's mean. She's mean. The company is terrible. I don't like the things that they do. They mistreat me. They are just bad people. And, you know, I'm not going to give them my best because they don't treat me right. Well, the Bible actually has something to say about that as well. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. And this is something that's helped me, in different situations I've had, not here, but elsewhere, where, sometimes in church work, it can be hard. And, you know, we do face abrasiveness and challenges and things like that. But what do we do when we're facing pushback in our work or with a boss or for someone who's giving us a hard time? Here's what Paul had to say. Now, this has to do with slavery, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. But just keep in mind how this could apply to the workplace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. There's a parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, if you want to take a look at that. So even when people were slaves in the first century and they become Christians, well, that did not mean they were able to get free of their slavery. Now, that's another discussion, and you know, Paul talks about that in a little bit in Philemon about the nature of slavery and things like that. But what we're focused on tonight is the attitude which these workers were supposed to have towards those who were their superiors. And so even when the slaves were being mistreated, they may have not been able to get out of that situation because of debt or some other financial obligation. He said, here's how we should react and consider those who have authority over us. We should obey our earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever we do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so if we can map this to our contemporary situation. Maybe we have a boss who doesn't treat us well. Maybe we have someone that we work with that makes life really difficult. How could we apply this to our situation? We need to work as if we're serving God and not men. Now, that's a hard thing to do. You know, especially when, you know, we feel like, well, that, you know, the way they treat me, I don't like that. I don't like how I'm being treated here. But we still should give people the respect that we deserve, that they deserve. And think about this. Think about how this could reflect on us. Maybe you have a bad work situation, but you are going with people talking behind the back about the company, the boss, complaining. Maybe you are like, well, they're not going to treat me right, so I'm not going to work too hard. You know, I'm not going to work, give them what they are asking of me. Maybe we're just, you know, saying one thing to be a people pleaser, to get by. Are we really being lights to the world? What are our coworkers and the people that we spend time with? Maybe our classmates in school. If that's the way that we as Christians handle that situation, why would they want to listen to us about spiritual matters? Why would they care what we have to say if, even though we're in a bad situation, we can't show basic respect and deference to those who are over us? And of course, that doesn't mean that you do something that's unethical or wrong. But it does mean that we need to have a way of approaching these things that is God-honoring, that is respectful to the people to whom we are accountable to, and that shines the light of Christ in maybe perhaps some very difficult situations. If people were to judge us based on our work attitude towards the people we work for and with, what would they say about us? Would they say that I want to be where that person goes to church? Would they say I want to know what that person thinks about religion? Do they care about the type of life that we live based upon the attitude and ethic that we show in our work? And I think this is an important thing for all of us to remember, because even something, well, that's work and this is church and those two things are separate. But the attitude at which we approach life in general, if we're going to pick and choose one here, I'm going to put my effort in here, but not over here, or I'm going to be lazy here, but and not try here, it reflects on who we are in our character. Remember Jesus. Jesus was a man of work. Not only was Jesus raised in a trade and worked with his hands, but he also spent a lot of time, as Steve talked about this morning, healing people, working late into the night, not getting a lot of sleep. He was a hard worker. Because even though, you know, he was the Son of God, he cared about the responsibilities that he had. In John 17:4, Jesus said that the work that he did on earth glorified God. Jesus had a mission and a purpose. And he made sure that the responsibility that was given to him to do was carried out to the fullness extent that he could do it. I don't think any of us would call Jesus lazy. I don't think any of us would look at Jesus and say the work that he did was low quality. I think we would say that of Jesus that he was a hard worker. He did the best that he could, and he put in the effort of his, based upon his abilities. What about Paul? Paul was a tent maker. And a lot of times Paul used his tent making to support the ministry of the church that he was doing, whether he was a missionary or other things. If I'm thinking about Paul and his work ethic, 1 Thessalonians 2:9, he talks about how hard he worked to support his time in Thessalonica. I have a hard time imagining that Paul made low-quality tents just to get a quick buck so he can move on. Imagine if people are buying Paul's tents and they, oh, that guy, that Christian, he sold me a cheap tent and it fell apart. He sold me and it leaked. I was outside and I was on the road and it was leaking the entire time. And I couldn't get a whole good night's sleep at all. And that guy claimed to believe in some God. I'm not going to believe in that God because apparently that God doesn't care about hard work. That God doesn't care about doing a good job. I think Paul would have been very conscious, if I may say so. I think Paul would have cared about what he produced in his life. Because of the way that it reflected upon what he was trying to do with his big picture mission as a servant of Jesus Christ. While we work for men, we need to do so as we are working for the Lord so we can bring glory and honor to him. And that by our attitude and our way of life, we can reflect the attitude that Jesus and God would want us to have towards other people. The third thing we need to think about when it comes to work is the way that laziness plays into this. If you study the book of Proverbs, you'll notice there's a lot of passages about laziness. One of the more well-known ones is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And so the warning is that if we, you know, get complacent, if we ease up, if we start, you know, easing in our work, quickly we could find ourselves in a bad situation financially. Of course, that is not the cause of poverty in all cases, but it could be a cause of poverty in some cases. And that's not to say that we don't need rest. Jesus himself took time to rest, as we've seen time and time again. But there's a difference between appropriate rest and laziness. There's a difference between taking a break because of the amount of work that we've done versus not putting the effort in at all. In the church of Thessalonica, Paul dealt with some Christians that were being lazy. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, he talks about this a little bit in 1 Thessalonians, but you see it especially in 2 Thessalonians 2. And whatever the motivation was, there was people there that weren't working. They were capable of working, But as a result of their decision not to work, they were becoming a burden upon the church for various reasons. They were needing things, but they also were getting involved in things by becoming busybodies. In 2 Thessalonians 3:11 through 12, Paul says this, "We hear that some of you among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living." When we're not busy work, whether it's, you know, in our jobs or if, you know, for the Lord or for our families, we can get tied, pulled into things that become sin. In this case, it was becoming busybodies. But some cases, it can be other types of sins. There's an old saying about, you know, a slack hand is the devil's playground or something like that, right? Where sometimes when we are not being and keep doing, spending our time doing good things, other things will fill that time in our life. And I find when I find myself busy and doing the work that I need to be doing, there's certain temptations just aren't a problem. There's certain things that don't even cross my mind because I'm busy. And I'm sure you have experienced the thing as well. We need to be productive people in our spiritual lives, but also in our work. And so that, you know, maybe if we find ourselves having too much idle time, we find ourselves getting pulled into things we shouldn't be pulled into, maybe we need to fill it with something good. Maybe we need to fill it with some service to God. Or maybe we need to work, depending on your situation, maybe. The final thing is this. The work that we do as Christians reflects upon who we are as people and who we are as followers of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, this is one of the other passages in Thessalonians about laziness and working and things like this. Here's what Paul says. "We urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, to aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you." Very similar to the verse we just read, but here's how it's a little bit different. "So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." It seems that the behavior of these Christians in Thessalonica was not just becoming an internal problem for the church. It was also reflecting poorly out in the world. Now, the people out in the world are looking at these Christians, some of which did not have a good work ethic, and they're making conclusions about the kind of people that they are. They're looking at them and saying, these people don't work hard, they're too dependent, they're becoming busybodies, perhaps, to draw in from what we read in 2 Thessalonians. But Paul wants them to be working with their hands, both so they can provide for themselves, but also so that they may walk properly, to live rightly in the eyes of outsiders. The work that we do has an impact on our reputation in the world. Even if your job is the furthest thing from church work in the world, the work that you do is a reflection of who you are as a Christian. And that's kind of a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around because we don't always think about it in that way. Their work impacted how the world saw them. You know, for example, another good example of this, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 in the passage on qualifications for elders. One of the qualifications of an elder is that they may be thought well of by outsiders. Well, why is that? So that they may not fall into disgrace. So that they may be seen well and respected by those in the world. The world may not agree with everything that an elder teaches or does based because of biblical things. But it was important for them to be thought well of by outsiders because of the way that it can bring shame upon the church. So what does our work ethic, the quality of our work, the kind of person that we are in the workplace towards other people, the way that we respect or follow or don't follow those who are above us, what does that say about us as we're trying to be followers of Christ? Does it bring glory to the name of God? Or does it bring dishonor to him? Does it bring respect? And people are like, wow, I really appreciate, I know that, you know, we work for this person and they've not been very respectful of us. Maybe they've mistreated him, but I've been really impressed by that person over there. I wonder what it is about them. Why do they, even in a bad situation, they're still respectful and hardworking. They still do what they need to do. You're going to stand out as a light in situations like that. You're going to have an opportunity to influence people because of that. And hopefully we are bringing glory to God and not shame to the name of Christ because we're being sloppy, lazy, careless, or even unethical. God cares about the work that we do in all aspects of our life. He cares about our work in the church. He cares about our work in the world. He cares about our work in the home. He cares about what kind of attitude we have towards those things in our life. And I know sometimes it's easy to kind of think, well, I don't have to try that hard, or let me see what I can get away with, or how little I can do and barely meet expectations. But maybe we could do better to reflect Christ in that. May I also add that I think this also matters too, not just to our job work, but also our work with the church. Even simple things that we do for the church that we may not think are a big deal. Are we giving God our best? Are we doing the best that we need to do? Or are we just trying to get by? Are we giving Him the same devotion that we would give, you know, maybe our boss at work? In the Old Testament, one of the big things that God had a problem with, I didn't write this one down because it came to my mind, but in one of the minor prophets, God was critical of the people of Israel because they were bringing low quality offerings to sacrifice to God. They were bringing animals that were damaged, that were mutilated, that were not appropriate for sacrifice. And God calls them out and says, you wouldn't do this for the ruler of your city. You wouldn't do this for your governor or your king. You would not give them that kind of offering. So why are you giving that offering to me? I think that's something that we need to remember too when it comes to our work with God. We need to give God our best. And sometimes that's hard. Because oftentimes by the time we've handled work and we have our kids to think about, we get to the end of the week and there's not a lot of time left. But I think we need to find ways to make sure that the work that we're giving to God is good and that it's the best that we can offer Him in life. Our work in this life is important. The work that you do, even outside of this building, is important for your walk as a Christian. And we need to remember that. I know some of you may hate your job. You're just looking for the day that you can find something else or retire or whatever the situation may be or move on or get that education so that you can do something different. But even in a job that we dislike, we need to make sure that we're honoring God by the work that we do in our interactions, in the way that we do our work, in the attitudes that we have, in the quality of work that we provide. We need to make sure that we're honoring God and Christ. We have a responsibility to provide for our household. We need to work for men as if we are serving God. We need to make sure we're working so that we don't become idle and fall into sin. Because remember, our reputation is at stake in the eyes of the world. We need faithful Christians who are doctors, nurses, lawyers, teachers, janitors, clerks, sales associates, plumbers, welders, mechanics, accountants, investors, factory workers, advisors, bankers, you name it. We need people to be doing those good things in the world. But we need people who are there not just as workers, but as Christians serving God in this life. If you have any needs this evening, maybe you've not been the worker that you need to be in your life. Maybe you've not given God your best. Maybe you've, not represented Christ well in your workplace. I'm sure all of us have dealt with that from time to time, but perhaps there's something that you would like to ask for prayers of the church for, or some other thing in your life that is burdening you in your heart and sin. Or if you're not a Christian, we have the most wonderful opportunity and blessing that is being offered to us through Jesus Christ, and that is the salvation and eternal life. Jesus wants us to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to confess Him as Lord, to repent of our sins, and to be baptized so that we can have our sins forgiven and walk with Him forever. If you have any needs this evening, whether to confess sin in your life or to become a Christian for the first time, if there's anything that you need, we're here for you as a church as we stand and sing the song together.